Okay, Chevra, good evening. Thank you all for coming. We have been discussing various topics in what I call a Money Matter series. Money does matter. The fact that the markets have been crashing and then Baruch Hashem today they came back a little bit, money matters. And we have, in the Money Matter series, we've spoken about paying workers on time, we've spoken about returning lost objects. We spoke about some of the halachas of stealing. And I want to talk about one of the more complicated and difficult questions in Dine Mominis, which is actually the question of ribis, of interest. Mm-hmm. I call this an interesting introduction. I hope you will find this interesting. But ribis is really hard. Now, the thing about ribis is a fewfold. One of the challenges of ribis is, first of all, most halachos of Dine Mominis are found where in Shulchan Aruch? In which of the four books of Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch Orech Chaim is about daily life. Evan Ha'ezer is about marriage. So those two are out. Choshen Mishpat is about monetary stuff, no? Yerideya is about kashrus, etc. Ribis is not found in Choshen Mishpat. Ribis, you would think, would be in the halachos of monetary stuff, yet ribis is found in Yerideya. It begins in Simen Kuf Nun Tes. And the interesting thing is that Kuf Nun Tes, 159, right, advanced mathematics, comes right after 158. Ribis in Shulchan Aruch comes right after Hilchos Avodah Zarah. And the reason for that is Chazal say that a person who charges interest, it's like the person is Oved Avodah Zarah. Ribis is super, super severe. There are statements here. Let's look on the third source on the sheet. Again, as you know, when I put together sheets, they never go in order. So the third source is, it's in Siman Kuf Samach Se'if Beis, Kohanosim Beribis. Anyone who gives interest, nechasav mismotetim, your possessions end up decreasing. Uki'ilu kafar bitzias Mitzrayim, you are denying Hashem who took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Ubeloke Yisrael, you are denying God. If you lend money with interest, you are doing really bad things. The pasuk in Yechezkel in chapter 18, right, that a person who gives ribis, v'chai lo yechyeh, right, that the person won't live, which means, according to Chazal, the person won't get up in Tchiyas HaMesim, you're not going to go into Olam Haba. Ribis is bad, right? Not only that, the Midrashim say that ribis is so bad that usually when I do an Aveira, so in the divine court of justice, there are people who defend, or angels who defend you, and then there are angels who prosecute you. If you are an interest lender, there are lots of people who are prosecuting you, lots of angels prosecuting you. There are no defense attorneys. You got to defend yourself.
Can't
hire one. What? You can't hire one, right? You can't bribe them to hire one. You are going to be out on your own. You are going to be in serious trouble. So ribis, the isser of ribis, is super severe. And the question is why? Why is ribis so intense? Why is it that ribis is like your Oved Avodah Zarah, etc.? And Shulchanach comes right after Hilchos Avodah Zarah. What is the connection? Lev, what do you have to say?
Is this only to a Jew, or
right, so this is what we call the official Frida question. we'll get there next time. Technically speaking, the Torah writes, there's a pasuk in the Chumash that you're allowed to lend with interest to non-Jews, but not to your brother, not to Jews. Effectively, what this means is as follows. I heard this explanation from Rabbi Rosenzweig, the Ramban al HaTorah, develops this idea somewhat. Interest is really something that keeps the world going. Markets can't work without interest. If you don't charge interest, there is no way that you can earn profit in a normal sort of way. So interest is really important. The only thing is that the Torah tells us, you know what? We have a special responsibility to our family, to our brothers. So la nochri tashich, when I charge interest to a non-Jew, that's not like hurting them, that's not there to punish them, that's normal. But to Jews not charging interest, that's something that's above the call of normal. That is something only for your family. Most people are nicer to their families than they are to others, no?
Maybe.
I'm not going there.
I know.
Right? But that's the basic point. So the Issur of Ribbis, what we're noting is it's extremely severe. The question as to why it is so severe is an interesting question. And there are two suggestions I'd like to make. Both are found in the Sichos Musar of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reason why the Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives, and he quotes this from the Kli Yakar in Pashas Bahar, on the Psukim that say, "Es kaspecha lo siten lo b'neshech, u'b'marbis lo siten ochlecha." So the Kli Yakar notes that what the Torah means is that you have to have bitachon. You have to trust in Hashem. Usually, any way I want to earn money involves trusting God. If I have a farm and I want to earn money, I have to trust God. If I sell cattle, I have to trust God in the sense of people are going to come, etc., and buy my stuff. Whatever I want to earn money with involves trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if I'm a lender with interest, I don't really trust God because my profits are assured. Here's $5. Give me 7 back, no? Will you trade me 2 tens for a 5, right? Remember kids used to do that? Move, right? Right? So your money is secured. And therefore you don't have to have betachin in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says the Kli Yakar, the severity of interest is because a person who earns profit through interest doesn't show trust in Hashem, doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make things happen. Yes?
But from the business, working in the business world, we only charge interest if they're late on their payments.
Well, not always true. We'll get to practical stuff later. Right now, we're talking general theory about why charging interest is bad. One of the reasons is because your profits are assured. Second reason that...
Not if the guy goes bankrupt.
What?
Not if the guy you lent it to goes bankrupt.
Well,
yeah.
If the guy goes bankrupt, again, if there are co-signers, etc. on the loan, in almost all cases, when I lend money and I get back with interest, I have profits that are assured. That's the assumption. Next suggestion is as follows. Lending money is chesed. Correct? Not only is it chesed, the Rambam tells us that's the highest form of tzedaka. Tzedaka, usually if I take $5 and I give it to you, that's one type of tzedaka. But you know what? Then you really feel a little guilty. But if I lend you money, right? So that's a higher form of tzedaka. It's a higher form of tzedaka, says the Rambam. Now, when I do chesed, I'm supposed to do chesed just because I want to help. If I lend with interest, I am doing what looks like a chesed, but it's really a false chesed. I'm really doing it so that I earn a profit on the deal. And the deception, the taking something that should be chesed and making it not chesed, that's the problem. The beauty of, or the Isser of Ribbis, of Chaim Shmulevitz explains in these other things, is that you're supposed to do chesed just as chesed. If I do chesed to turn a profit, that's not a real chesed.
So why is that denying God?
Why what?
Why is that denying God?
So why is it denying God? So it's denying God because the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's the source of all chesed, did chesed without getting anything in return. We are supposed to be imitatzi Yodai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Hashem is Olam Chesed Yibaneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't get anything out of it. We're supposed to be like Hashem. Right? The approach of Bitachon is easier to hear why it's denying God. Agreed. But the basic idea is we're trying to explain the severity of ribbis based on these two possibilities. Let's go on. Ribbis is a very serious avera. Who violates the iser of ribbis? I lend you $5 to get $6 back. And I have a scribe who writes the note. And I have witnesses who sign the note. Right? Who violates, and there is a co-signer. Who violates the iser ribbis?
Everybody.
Every single one. Zak the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah above Mitzia, Ayin Hey Amid Aleph and Ayin Hey Amid Beis. May I underline parts of it? The Elo over and below say the following people violate the Isser of Ribbis. Hamalve, the lender, Vahalova, the borrower, Vahariv, the cosigner, Vahaedim. Vahachomim, Afhasofer. Everyone violates the Isser. They violate not only the Isser, there are 6 Isserim in the Torah for Ribbis. Ovrim, Mishum, Lo Titain, this Kaspacha Lo Titain Beneshech. Lo Titain is an Isser. Umishum Altikach Meito. Altikach Meito Neshech Vitarbis. Umishum Lotia Lo Kenosha. You're not allowed to oppress the borrower. Umishum Lotus Simon Alof Neshech. Umishum Lifne Evil O Sitte Mikshov. Viyaresam Lo Kecha Ani Hashem. Basically, you violate everything and the next thing. You violate everything, right? Basically, the severity of Ribbis is really, it's really intense. Shulchan Aruch, right at the beginning of Hilchos Ribbis, it begins Kuf Nun Tes. Then in Kuf Samech, it says Tzarch Li Zoher B'Ribbis V'Kam Alavim Noem Arubo V'Afilo Halove HaNosno V'Ha'Arei V'Edem Ovro. You have to be very careful about Ribbis. The expression of the Torah is that you have to be careful Ma'od Ma'od by Ribbis. Those expressions of Ma'od Ma'od emphasize both that you are so connected that you want to do it. The whole world operates on interest, so you have to really be very careful not to violate Ribbis. Now, sometimes people think that I'm not charging interest unless I get back more than I lent out. But we have certain things called banks. If I have money in the bank, and I'm allowed to get interest in the bank because it's non-Jewish, whatever, we'll discuss it. But I'm allowed to get interest in the bank. If I take money out of the bank and I lend you the money, so effectively, right, the $500 I lend you, had it stayed in the bank, by a month from now, I'd have $510, like, for argument's sake. What?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay, 6 months, a year from now, whatever it is, right? You get the point is, I would earn money for being in the bank. Now, by lending you money, I lend you $500, I get $500 back because I'm not lending with interest. That really means I lost money.
On the end, potential interest.
Money earns money. I lost the interest I would have gained. So that's a problem. Right? That's a problem. So maybe there's no prohibition of interest if I get back the amount that I would have gained alternatively. Right? Now, there's something called the Consumer Price Index, right?
Yeah.
The CPI. Consumer Price Index basically is the purchasing power of your dollar. So in 1960, a dollar could buy me 3 dozen eggs. In 2018, a dollar buys me, let's say, half a dozen eggs, right?
It also has to do with inflation.
Well, inflation is the consumer price index and inflation are basically two ways of measuring the same thing,
right,
which is the purchasing power of the dollar goes down.
Correct.
So now, if I lend you money and I link the loan to the consumer price index, so I am saying, you know what, I'm lending you a dollar as of December 26th, 2018, right? And you'll pay me back on December 26th of 2019, but I want to get back a dollar in the 2018, right? Based on the 2018 dollars. Now, this issue might not be so extreme now, but there are certain countries in this world, like Zimbabwe, or countries like Israel at certain times. Any economists over here who can explain this to me? So all the Sfarim talk about how at one point in the late 70s, Israel decided that what used to be called 6 lira automatically became 4 lira. They just, the Weimar Republic in Germany,
yeah.
Right? My grandparents had like these bills that they would like stamp over them in Weimar Germany, right? And, right, so 1,000 suddenly just add a few zeros, becomes 1,000,000. No? So they change the currency because the purchasing power is going down precipitously. How does that impact on the dinim of ribbis? So the majority of poskim assume that we follow the face value of the money. I lend you 1,000 Weimar Reichsmarks. I get back 1,000 Weimar Reichsmarks, even when they are worth $1.50, as opposed to $1,000 when I lent it.
Yeah.
Right? That means that by lending money, I really suffer. Because, right, most poskim assume, I give you here a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak is Dayan Weiss. He was the Dayan in Manchester, then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he became the head of the Badatze, the Charedis for a while. Interestingly, in the first volume of Minchas Yitzchak was the recipient of Pras HaRav Kook for being like the best Jewish book, which is kind of interesting because the head of the Ed Charedis won Pras HaRav Kook. That's like a collector's item on its own, right? So the Minchas Yitzchak writes over here, B'inyan Priyas Chov Kishen Nifchat Erech HaMatbeya She'ela. Right, there was some pichut that they like lowered the currency. Is it l'shalem ha'mava gam ha'prat teshuva? So I saw a tshuva of Rabbi Yalis, the Av Bezin of Philadelphia, who wrote that the lira went down from $4 to $6. So he says, you know what? The question, he deals with the question whether you have to pay back the lira, whether you could pay a little bit more. And his argument is that you could pay a little bit more. However, the Minchas Yitzchak says that in his opinion, you have to only pay the face value. In other words, any loan that is indexed to consumer price index will be an isser of ribbis. Now, this is actually interesting, right? In other words, a loan that is, I can't say that I want to get back the money I would have gotten in the bank. That's also an isser of ribbis. That really means that I have to do the chesed of lending money in a way that I end up suffering. The chesed of lending ends up being in a way that I suffer from it. I lose money on the deal. So, that's kind of surprising, but that's the way most assume the halacha is. Again, they base this on the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Zayin, where the Gemara discusses if the country says that the coin is no good. So if the country completely invalidates the coin, so then you pay back with the new coins. But if the country doesn't invalidate the coin, it just adds the weight to the coin. Coins used to be weights, right? It's no longer that way. I'll get to you in a second, Zachary. But in those cases, you have to pay back the coin itself. That's the halacha. Fine. So what does it mean that I have to lose, I have to suffer because I'm doing chesed? So I actually gave a sermon in the shul a couple of weeks ago about Rachel and Leah, that the Midrashim speak about how the one person who, on our way to Galus, the one person who consoles the Jewish people, who gets us out of Galus, is Rachel, because of the chesed that Rachel did. The chesed that Rachel did, according to Chazal, is that on the wedding night, when Rachel is supposed to marry Yaakov Avinu, Rachel goes and she tells her sister Leah all of these simanim, right? All of the secret signs that Yaakov gave Rachel because everyone suspected that Lavan's gonna try to snooker him in. And when Rachel gives these simanim to Leah, effectively Rachel is giving up all that is precious to her. She's giving it up to Leah. Rachel's giving up the husband who she wanted. Rachel's giving up an opportunity to be with Yaakov Avinu. Instead, she's probably going to end up marrying Esav. That's what seems to be in the cards. Rachel not only gives it up, but Rachel Imenu did it in such a way that Leah never knew that Rachel was destined to marry Yaakov. Right? Leah, in fact, turns to Rachel at one point after Reuven comes back from the field with these Dudaim, right? And Leah says, "Hama'at kachteich es ishi." Right? Not only are you trying to steal my husband. And if you're Rachel, you're sitting there thinking, like, my husband! Right? What do you mean, Leah? It's your husband. It's my husband. He's supposed to be mine the whole time. What are you talking about? The answer is that Rachel did this chesed to Leah, and Rachel gets hit in the teeth. Again, boom, boom, boom. Again, again, and again, Rachel is getting slammed for the chesed. Usually we think that the ideal chesed is a chesed shel emes, is if you're on the chevra kadisha, and you don't get anything back. But the impression you get from these midrashim is there's even a higher level chesed. There's a chesed that I'm nice to you, and I get punched for it. That's the higher level chesed. And for some reason, Chazal, within the Isser of Ribbis, are trying to stress that, you know what? There's the super-duper chesed, the chesed of, like, a Rachel Imenu, the chesed that I lend money to you, even though I end up suffering. However, the idea is that you're not really suffering. Because there's no greater thing in the planet than doing a mitzvah. So yeah, I'm losing a couple of dollars, right, that I could have gotten in the bank. Interest rates aren't so great anyway. Right? I'm losing something by lending you the money, that's true. But ultimately, my focus should be on the fact that I'm doing a mitzvah, and therefore it's all worth it. So that's like the first tikkun Torah, that's the introduction. Zachary, how are you?
Doing well, and this seems like a really obnoxious question now, but is it possible to denominate the loan or loan someone an object and insist that you're paid back in wine rather than in the value of the wine?
So we're going to talk about this later. There is, but I could lend you an object and get an object back?
Yeah, or I mean, as a way to, and so the
Mishnayos and Bava Metzia talk about what we call commodity loans, which is called sa'ub sa'ub. If I lend you a pound of wheat, right, to get a pound of wheat back, right, that's called sa'ah b'sa'ah. There's some iser d'rabbanon involved in these types of commodity loans because the price is likely to fluctuate. Money, in the eyes of Chazal, doesn't fluctuate as often as commodities. We know that money does fluctuate, but it fluctuates much less than the price of tea in China, or whatever it is. Okay? So we'll discuss commodity loans probably next time we learn. Those are part of the Isurim D'Rabbanan of Ribbis. What I want to focus on now, just briefly, are Isurim D'Oraisa of Ribbis versus Isurim D'Rabbanan. By the way, just on the source sheet here, a lot of what I mentioned before is coming from this Gemara in the Taz. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, Malvei ribis yosi mashem arvichem mafsidim. They end up losing. Not only that, but the people who lend with money are making Moshe Rabbeinu mesim Moshe chacham v'torasol emes. That means that they try to say that Moshe is an idiot. Right? The Gemara can't even express those terms. Ilo hayo yodoi Moshe Rabbeinu shiye revach b'davar lo yakosvo. They argue that how Moshe Rabbeinu realized that you could earn money by lending with interest, Moshe never would have written that down. The Taz writes, right? The Taz writes, what do you mean? No one knows that there's profit. Right? The Taz phrases it the other way. When I lend you money, what are you going to do with the money? You're going to take the money, you'll earn a profit, no? So therefore, maybe you should pay me back more than I lent you, because I gave you the ability to earn a lot of money. No? Right? It works that way also. The answer is no, we're not allowed to do that, even though I would have earned money on my end, and even though you're earning money on your end, still, the Torah says that the prohibition of ribis is, I lend you $5, I have to get $5 back. End of conversation. Right? That's what emerges. Now, a few points that are worth just describing in Ribbis, before we talk about Dairasis Drabon, Ribbis does not have to be, I lend you money, we mentioned before lending commodities. Not only is lending money and commodities a problem of Ribbis, but even lending actions is a problem of Ribbis. If I say, you know what, Zachary, I'm going to paint your apartment, right, in exchange for you painting my apartment. So that could be Ribbis. Why? Because I lend you painting of your apartment. Your apartment has, I don't know, 2 bedrooms. I happen to have a 5-bedroom apartment, right, in the Heights. Right? Not a bad deal, right? So that's going to be Ribbis, because I get back more than I gave. I gave you painting of 2 rooms, and I get back painting of 5 rooms. This is actually in the Mishnah, right? The first source is, I'm allowed to say, I will, nakesh means to work on the ground, to like plow the ground, or prune the ground. I will prune your field, and you prune my field. Adar imi v'adarimcha, right? I'll work on your field, you work on my field. However, right, I am not allowed to say, I will plow for you now in the summer, and you'll plow for me in the winter. Because plowing in the winter is much harder than plowing in the summer, no? In the summer, the land is somewhat loose. In the winter, this is a shver arbit, right? So therefore, I'm not allowed to do that. In other words, there's a type of ribbis that is called ribbis on actions also. And this is one of the key things in ribbis. We don't often think about what situations could be ribbis cases, but these could also be ribbis cases. Let's go on a little bit more. There's ribbis d'oraisa and there's ribbis d'rabbanon. And there are differences between ribbis d'oraisa and ribbis d'rabbanon. Just very quickly, I give you 3 differences on the second side of the sheet. Ribbis d'rabbanon, you're allowed to do l'tzorech mitzvah, no? Rabbinic interest, you're allowed to charge if you're doing it for a mitzvah. So most shal yesomim, if they're a kid, let's say I'm an apotropos, I'm in charge of money for some yesomim, I'm allowed to earn profit on that money, l'tzorech the yesomim, if it's ribbis d'rabbanon. Rav Schechter actually is mekel, we'll have to discuss this at some length at some point, that Yeshiva University is allowed to charge interest on student loans.
What?
Because it's ribbis l'tzorech mitzvah. What greater mitzvah is it than supporting Yeshiva University? And, right, it's ribbis l'tzorech mitzvah, and Rav Schechter has to argue that somehow it's ribbis d'rabbanon because it's not really cash that's changing hands. It's no one pays in cash anymore, no? This is wild. We'll get there a different time.
No.
So ribbis d'rabbanon is mutter, let's say, with mitzvah. I'm allowed to lend in ribbis d'rabbanon in order to pay for my Shabbos meals, right? Letzorech mitzvah, ribbis d'rabbanon is permitted. Ribbis d'oraisa is not permitted. Next halacha.
Can I ask you what the difference is between...
Wait,
how do you distinguish between...
D'oraisa and d'rabbanon?
No. How do you know what ribbis d'rabbanon is and ribbis d'oraisa is?
Wait, we'll get there in 2 minutes.
Okay.
4 minutes.
Okay.
Next difference between ribbis d'rabbanon and ribbis d'oraisa is, let's say I lend you $5 to get $6 back. So, ribbis kitzutzas yiltzib dayonim. The dayonim, the bezdin, comes and takes the money away. I collected $6 from you. Bezdin will say, you know what? Sorry, we'll take away that $6. They'll take, ribbis d'rabbanon is in the yiltzib dayonim. Avak ribbis, that's called ribbis d'rabbanon. The rabbis, the bezdin, doesn't remove it. There are other differences that the Ramah writes, that the halacha, that the lova, that the borrower violates ribbis d'oraisa, so the borrower only violates ribbis d'oraisa, but ribbis d'rabbanon, the borrower does not violate. Right? So if I borrow money with ribbis d'rabbanon, I'm not in violation. These are some of the differences between ribbis d'oraisa and ribbis d'rabbanon. What is d'oraisa? What's d'rabbanon by ribbis? So the Gemara tells us, defining the terms, Amar Rav Nachman, klala d'ribisa, kol agar notar lei is asar. The klal of ribbis is that agar notar is asar. Agar notar means salary or reward that comes from delay. That's the definition of ribbis. Because I delay, I don't have my money now, I'm delaying before I get my money back. So salary for delay is usar. That is agar notar, and that is the concept of ribbis do'iraisa.
Okay.
According to most authorities, you violate ribbis do'iraisa only at the time that the loan is extended, or at the time that you are changing the terms of the loan. Meaning, if I say, Caroline, I'll lend you $5 and I'm going to get $6 back, ribbis do'iraisa. That's at the time of the loan. Let's say I say, Caroline, I'll lend you $5 and I want you to pay it back by January 1st. And then on January 1st, when the money is due, so you come to me and you say, I don't have $5 now, can I give you $6 by January 10th? So that's a machlokas Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam says that that's not ribbis do'iraisa. The Ravid says, no, since we are recalibrating the terms of the loan, that becomes ribbis do'iraisa at that point. Right? In other words, when the loan is due on January 1st, I come to you, I say, I want my $5. You say, you know what, I'll give you $6. If I could have it for the 10th, that's also ribbis do'iraisa. Everyone agrees that if I lend you $5 and you're supposed to give me back $5 on January 1, and tomorrow I go over to you and I say, you know what, can I give you back $6 on January 10th? In other words, the loan is not yet due. It's not going to be due until January 1, and tomorrow is not January 1 for those keeping score, right? So therefore, that would not be ribbis do'iraisa. Ribbis do'iraisa has to be built into the terms of the loan. And you can't change the terms of the loan in middle of the time period of the loan. I can change it when I extend the loan, or I can change it when the loan is due, because then it's as if I'm making a new loan. But in the middle of the loan period, I can't change the terms of the loan. That's one halacha. Next halacha, that's interesting with respect to ribbis. Let's say I want Danny to lend me $1,000. Okay? That's what I want. Now, I know Danny isn't in the mood of lending money to me. So I ask Frida, I say, Frida, do me a favor. Give Danny $5 so that he'll be in a good mood and then he'll lend me $1,000. What's the story over there? Give Danny $5... Right? So that might be permitted, because you're giving it to him and he'll give it to me. But let's say I go over to you, to Danny, and I say, Danny, here's $5.
Yeah.
And can you please lend me $1,000? I link the two. That's called ribbis mukdemes. Mm-hmm. That's called early ribbis, in the sense of I'm giving you the money to soften you up so that you'll lend me the money. So it turns out that what? You end up getting more than your $1,000 back, because you got the $1,000 back when the loan is due, plus you also got an extra $5 in order to make the loan, ribbis. And if it's linked, do'iraisa. If I go over to Danny and I give him $5 and I make friendly, and then after I get him drunk one night on good shlifavitz, then you lend me $1,000. So that is usur midrabbanan, if I have in mind that I'm giving you the money to get the loan, but I don't link it explicitly. If I link it explicitly, if I say, here is $5, lend me $1,000, right? Then if I link it, that is called ribbis mukdemes, which is usur min hatorah, that becomes ribbis ktsutza. The similar thing is ribbis mu'ucheres, no? Ribbis mu'ucheres is like this, right? You lend me $1,000. I go over to you January 1st, I'm like, here's $1,000, and by the way, let me give you a beautiful gift to thank you for that loan. Right? If I say explicitly to thank you for the loan, do'iraisa. If, however, I give you a nice gift, but it's a type of gift that I'd give my friend anyway, it's just a nice thing, then that could be okay. Right? If I link it to the loan, it's a problem. If it's a gigundous gift that I would never give you otherwise, it's a problem. There's all discussion in the post-game, like, is there like a time frame? I give you a gigantus gift 6 months after the big womb. Is that also presumed to be ribbis d'oraisa? So all these halachas are here in Simen Kuf Samach Se'if Vav. There are also ways of violating ribbis as follows. I borrow $1,000 from Danny, right? I then, Danny tells me, you know what? I want you to pay the $1,000 back to somebody else. Right? In other words, that there's someone else who needs money. So we assume that when I give that $1,000 to someone else, that's as if Danny got it, because I'm listening to Danny. Right? Now, what happens over here is also, if I give the money back to somebody else, so it's as if Danny gets the $1,000, and Danny also got the benefit that he was listened to.
That's intangible.
What?
That's intangible.
But it's worth, but you know what? People think that that's worth something.
Yeah.
The fact that, very few people listen to me in life, but the fact that I'm listened to, that makes me feel good. So that could also be a type of ribbis. Those are dinim of ribbis that actually appear in Maseches Kedushin rather than in Bav Metzia with the regular dinim of ribbis. Those are somewhat complicated, but what we're going to be trying to do over the next couple of weeks, I don't want to do this for more than like 3 weeks, but we're going to try to avoid all the complications of ribbis and try to give you the relatively simple cases and then to discuss heter iska. Heter iska is this amazing thing to avoid ribbis, to avoid the prohibitions of ribbis, and how we structure it or not. So those are some of the things that we will be discussing. And thank you very much.
Would you like to say thank you for
So there is a din of ribbis devarim. So ribbis devarim is also very similar to what we discussed. The poskim say if it's the type of thing that I would say anyway, that's fine. But if it's something more than that, right, if I get effusive, that could be more of a problem. We'll discuss that as well. Thank you. Can I say baruch tia? Can I give you a bracha? Right, that's also. Caroline?
What about these early bird shul membership rates?
Ooh.
Right, so early bird shul membership rates. In other words, is that a disguised loan? So the assumption over here is that a two-tier pricing thing could potentially be ribbis. If I view it that the real price is the higher price and the low price is in exchange for getting the money early, so then it becomes like a disguised loan. That's the argument, that a two-tier pricing is akin to ribbis. With a shul, since it's going for a mitzvah and it is only ribbis derabbanan because there is no stipulation, etc. So in those cases it would be permitted. What about magazine subscriptions? Magazine subscriptions work effectively that if you buy, there used to be things called magazines. If you buy magazines for like 2 years, it's cheaper than if you buy on a month-by-month basis, right? They lock you in. So in that case, do I assume that that's going to be usher based on ribbis? So I remember years ago, when Dr. Levine, Olav HaShalom, was teaching ribbis in yeshiva, Dr. Aaron Levine, he was like the one person I met who actually knew this stuff. You know him? He was like a rabbi in Brooklyn, Dr. Aaron Levine. So Dr. Levine said that he felt that it's not considered an issur ribbis on the magazine subscriptions because they benefit. It's not just that they want to hold on to your money in order to invest that money and whatever, which would be like a ribbis situation. Rather, they want to get additional advertising. By being able to say we have X number of subscribers, they can get the advertising. So since they get something right away, so therefore it's not considered a disguised loan, because everybody knows why they want the, right? It's clearly, the only reason why you get a two-tiered pricing thing would be Ribbis is because it appears like it's a disguised loan, right? But if it's clear that it's not a disguised loan, then it would be okay. Zachary?
How do these situations differ from like renting equipment?
Renting equipment?
Right, like letting someone have it and then like...
So the Gemara talks about one of the Amoraim had like this great mindful, this great idea that maybe I'm going to say I'm not lending you money, so it's not ribbis. You are renting my coins. And there's a rental rate that you can pay. So there's, what's the difference between a rental and a loan? So there are a few differences. The major difference is that a loan is exclusively in the rishus of the borrower. In other words, anything that goes wrong, the borrower is fully responsible for. When I rent you something, so there are halachic situations when the one who rented it out is responsible for the damage. Let's say lightning comes, it's a complete onus. So the renter, the one who rented it out, ends up suffering the loss. That's the difference between a rental agreement and a loan. As a matter of halacha, by the way, I should say that just using different terminology does not change the ribbis issue. Let's say I tell you, I'm not lending you money. Instead, what I am doing is I'm giving you money as a gift. And you say on the way out, oh, by the way, Rabbi Schwartz, here's a larger gift. Right? You gave me a $5 gift, I'll give you a $6 gift back. It's a matana, it's a gift. It's not ribbis. Right? That doesn't work. Right? You got to call a spade a spade. Right? So that is beferish in Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Ayin Zayin. Those, you know, come up. Let me turn off the recording, I'll say one thing.